Amen. Take your Bibles and turn to John chapter 12. John chapter 12. Jesus is coming into Jerusalem, and the crowds are going to cry, Hosanna, Hosanna, blessed is he that cometh in the name of the Lord. The Pharisees are upset about this, and they said, the whole world has gone after him, and so we're not able to stop this movement and from people worshiping Jesus. But we come to verse 20. I'll just read a couple verses here, and this will be our text for today. Verse 20 of John chapter 12, and there were certain Greeks among them that came up to worship at the feast. The same came therefore to Philip, which was of Bethsaida of Galilee, and desired him, saying, Sir, we would see Jesus. What a great thing to say. What a great desire to see Jesus. One day, we will see him as he is. Amen? We'll know as we're known. It's going to be an amazing thing. But in this life, they came to a person and told that person they wanted to see Jesus. There, I'm sure there was direction, well, he's over here, or this or that. But it's always good to point people to Christ. Amen? But let's pray and ask for God's blessing. Father, how we appreciate your Son, the Lord Jesus Christ, and his sacrifice for us. We appreciate his ministry, the Holy Spirit, and all that's available to a believer. And Father, I pray that you would work in our service today, change hearts for your glory. May we live our lives for you. And help us now as we speak and hear your precious word. Bless in Jesus' name. Amen. In John chapter 1, we have the incarnation, or talking about it. In the beginning was the Word, and the Word was with God, and the Word was God. The same was in the beginning with God. All things were made by him. Without him was not anything made that was made. His name is called the Word of God. That's interesting for that description. And then a little later in chapter 1, it says, and the Word became flesh and dwelt among us. That's the incarnation. Matthew chapter 1, they're quoting an Old Testament text, Isaiah 7:14. And talks about how the virgin shall conceive and bring forth a son, and thou shalt call his name Emmanuel, which being interpreted is God with us. And so Christ, the incarnation of God, God in the flesh, amen? And he was God. And so wherever he went, I mean, just the power of God was manifested. By the new birth, by being born again, we have Christ in us. And that is a power far beyond any human power, far beyond any human reasoning. And it's a mystery. It's the mystery of godliness. But we get saved. The Bible says in Romans chapter 8, I've got a lot of introduction here, so bear with me. Amen. Romans chapter 8, if any man have not the Spirit of Christ, he is none of his. So we're born again of the Spirit of God. Amen. That's the life of Christ in us. Listen to the verse, Colossians 1:27. Christ in you, the hope of glory. So we're born, we are little children. We are as newborn babes, desiring the sincere milk of the word. But when I was a child, I spake as a child. But when I became a man, I put away childish things. And so we mature as believers. One of the things that helps us mature is the Holy Spirit of God and the Holy Word of God. And so the Spirit guides us through this book. He guides us into all truth. Thy word is truth. We make much of the Bible because that's where the power is. These words are life. These words are wisdom. These words are life-changing. And so we grow in the Spirit, and then we're filled with the Spirit. Amen. And what does that mean? Love, joy, peace, like you all have today. Amen. Long-suffering, gentleness, faith, meekness, temperance. And so we have all of those things by the filling of the Spirit. But that's God in us. That's God working in us, both to will and to do of his good pleasure. Isn't that a mystery? This is not pull yourself up by your bootstraps and I've got character and I'm going to make this work. You may do something out here, but God wants to do something in here. He wants to transform us here, and we're transformed by the renewing of our mind. There's a great difference between God with you and God in you. I have today with me a Bible. It is with me. Oh, you ought to see what's in this book. Man, this is a great book. And when this book is in me, it's different than just having it with me. It's in me, right? Thy word have I hid in my heart that I might not sin against God. People pass by the church and we wish they would come in and see what's going on. Amen? But as they pass by, the church is kind of, there it is. Boy, that's a nice church. Look, they got a steeple. Amen? Amen, they got a steeple. And boy, the church is so pretty and it's so well kept. And I wonder what it's like in there. They never know until they come inside. Amen? And the Bible, well, the Bible is the Word of God. We used to teach our kids Sunday school, the Bible is the Word of God. And I won't sing any more than that. But anyway, there's some great songs about it. But unless this book, you're in this book, and this book is in you, that's where the transforming power of God is. And it's just such a blessing to know that. When you think about this, my goal is to preach and teach the Bible. It's the Holy Spirit's goal to bring that word to life for you. And it's your goal to have a pure heart and a good heart to receive the seed of the Word of God. When all of those things are working, amen, something great happens every single time. I mean, every church service is just such a blessing. 2 Corinthians 3:2, Paul said, ye, to these believers in Corinth, ye are our epistle, written in our hearts, known and read of all men. They were walking Bibles. Somebody wouldn't read the Bible, so here's a believer. He's a walking Bible. Known and read of all men. We walk outside the church door. Well, what's the church like? It's like you, right? You're a representative of the church. And people desire those things. Well, boy, you ever talk to them? They have such joy and they love the Lord and they have such a great testimony. I'm going to go see what's going on there. Amen? And so it's a walking Bible. I don't know if you've ever heard this. Boy, that's a Christian, right? And they really don't want anything to do with wherever we're from. Colossians, you know, we used to have bumper stickers. We didn't, but I've seen them. Follow me to Fellowship Bible Church. And they put it on their back bumper. And as they're going down the road, they're yelling and shaking their fists at other cars. Follow me. Okay, that's a good illustration. Amen. How about this? Colossians 3:16. Let the word of Christ dwell in you richly in all wisdom. It goes on and says, teaching and admonishing one another in psalms and hymns and spiritual songs, singing with grace in your hearts to the Lord. We're walking Bibles, known and read of all men. And so we teach, we preach, we sing, we minister, and people get a picture, even a little picture, of what the Christian life is like and who Jesus is. It says in 2 Peter 3:18, but grow in grace and in the knowledge of our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ. To him be glory both now and forever. Amen. So we mature, we grow in grace. 1 John 2:6, he that saith he abideth in him ought himself also so to walk even as he walked. So we're to follow his example. Listen to the verses. This is Philippians chapter 2 and verse 5. Let this mind be in you, which was also in Christ Jesus. And then there's a lot of things that it talks about. He became obedient unto death, even the death of the cross. He humbled himself. There's humility. There's self-sacrifice. Let this mind be in you, which was also in Christ Jesus. How do we show the world what the mind of Christ is like? Amen? By living it. How do we show our families? How do we show our neighbors? How do we show our friends? And we'll go through that. But the important thing for a Christian is to glorify God, and they do that through magnifying Christ. The Spirit will not speak of himself, but he magnifies the Lord Jesus Christ, the Bible says. That's what he came here to do. You have 1 Peter 2:21. Hereunto were ye called, because Christ also suffered for us, leaving us an example that we should follow in his steps. He that saith he abideth in him ought himself also so to walk, even as he walked. So we're following in his steps. And what is there? Verse 23. Who, when he was reviled, reviled not again. Boy, that's a good one. No, I like to argue. I like to be right. And I like to get, you know. No, when he was reviled, he reviled not again. How about this one? Same verse. When he suffered, he threatened not, but committed himself to him that judgeth righteously. There's some Bible principles here. Amen? Amen. Good, good. I'm going to make a statement, and I want you to give me a little bit of time to develop this before you prejudge the statement. You cannot see, find, or represent Christ in religion for who he really is, in cold religion, in a form of godliness. You can do everything right out here, but it's got to be from in here. Make thy face to shine upon thy servant, and when God does that, the light of the world will be in you. You have in Luke chapter 18, Jesus spake a parable to certain which trusted in themselves that they were righteous. And of course, this is about the two men that went up into the temple to pray. The one a Pharisee, religion. The other a publican, the sinner. And the Pharisee starts off and he says, I thank God I'm not like other men. I'm not like this. I'm not like this publican. I do right. I fast twice a week. I give tithes of all that I possess. But the publican would not so much as lift up his eyes unto heaven. Familiar story. But smote his breast and said, Lord, be merciful to me, a sinner. Jesus said, this man went home justified. Not the man that was bragging on how good he was. That's religion. That's a form. But here's a man that takes God at his word. All have sinned and come short of the glory of God. I'm a sinner. I need a Savior. And there's humility in that. But that's a story. Luke chapter 10. We have a story about a lawyer. Jesus is talking to him. And Jesus said, love God with all your heart, all your soul, all your strength, all your might. That's the first and great commandment. The second is like unto it. Love your neighbor as yourself. And willing to justify himself, the lawyer, the law, religion, willing to justify himself, he said, who's my neighbor? And so Jesus tells the story or the parable of the Good Samaritan. A certain man went down from Jerusalem to Jericho. He fell among thieves. He was beaten. He was robbed. He was stripped of his raiment. He's laying there half dead. And by chance, a priest walks by on the other side of the road and doesn't stop and help. Picture of religion. A Levite walks by. These stories are endless in the Bible. And walks by on the other side, doesn't come and help. He's a picture of the law. But the Good Samaritan came by. And he went to where the man was. He washed his wounds. He anointed oil on his wounds. He put him on his beast. He took care of him. He took him to an inn. And he told the innkeeper, here's money to take care of him. If when I come back he spent more, I'll pay it. And then Jesus said, which of these three was the neighbor? And the man, the lawyer, said, well, it was he who went and helped him, he who showed mercy. That's a pretty important statement. And Jesus said, go and do thou likewise. You can't find Jesus in those two stories in religion. You have Luke or John chapter 8, and there's a woman taken in adultery, taken in the very act. No doubt about the sin. And she's brought before the Lord, and the Pharisees did this. The chief priests and the Pharisees, religion, brought this because they wanted to catch Jesus in his word. And I wonder where the man was. They only brought the woman. But anyway, they said, Jesus, in Moses and the law, it says that she should be stoned. But what do you say? And Jesus knelt down on the ground. He was writing something in the sand, maybe out of Hosea. Maybe out of Deuteronomy, I'm not sure. But he wrote something in the sand. And then he said, he that is without sin among you, let him first cast the stone at her. There was only one person there that was without sin, and that was Jesus. He wasn't throwing stones. He threw grace around. We'll see that in a minute. But anyway, these men started to leave from the eldest to the youngest. Jesus stoops down again. He's writing something. And then he says to the woman, Woman, where are those thine accusers? Hath no man condemned thee? And she said, No man, Lord. And he said, Neither do I condemn thee. Here's these religious people condemning. And he says, Neither do I condemn thee. Please don't stop there. Go and sin no more. That is an important part of that text. Amen. It's not a license to go do whatever you want. But it is an example of forgiveness and the grace of God. Then there's no condemnation. What a blessing that is. 2 Corinthians 3:6. Have you ever heard anybody talk about the letter of the law? Well, that's a letter of the law. You know, there's no movement there. It's a line and you can't cross it. It's a letter of the law. 2 Corinthians 3:6. Who also hath made us able ministers of the New Testament, not of the letter, but of the Spirit. For the letter killeth, but it's the Spirit that giveth life. And the law may control, but the law won't change a person. You can lock them up, but they're the same person. But grace changes people, and it changes people from the inside. In Galatians chapter 3, the Bible says, Wherefore the law was our schoolmaster to bring us unto Christ, that we might be justified by faith. But after that faith is come, we are no longer under the schoolmaster. We're free. There's liberty. Grace and truth came by Jesus Christ. The law came by Moses. The law has no answer but condemnation. And the reason for that is to show us that we're sinners. Romans chapter 7 talks about that. So that we'll come to Jesus Christ for forgiveness. Amen? Because by the works of the flesh, by the works of the law, shall no flesh be justified. Not by works of righteousness which we have done, but according to his mercy, there's the word, he hath saved us. Amen? So the law shows us, man, I'm undone. Yes, I'm a sinner. There's no doubt about that. What do I do? Well, keep the law. I can't. I broke it. Well, try from this point. Well, I did that a couple times, and it didn't last. Listen, we're sinners. We're going to sin. Amen? I don't care if you're saved or lost, but we're all sinners. You say, well, I'm never going to talk like that again. I'm never going to think like that again. I'm never going to do that again. You probably will. Thank God there's grace. Amen? Because God is gracious. He is merciful. He is long-suffering. There's therefore now no condemnation in Christ Jesus. 2 Corinthians 5:17. If any man be in Christ, he's a new creature. Old things have passed away. All things have become new. That doesn't mean you start living a perfect life. But something is certainly different in here, and we're doers of the word. People are not drawn to the law. Have you ever, thought about that? They're not drawn to the law. Well, you can't do this and you can't do that as a Christian. Why isn't the emphasis on, look at the blessings of the Christian? And it's, God doesn't want you to do these things because they're sinful and harmful. And God wants to bless your life. Amen? But people, all they see is, you're not allowed to do this and you're not allowed to do that. And to look at some Christians, you would think that's true. You know? Yeah, man, we can't do anything as Christians, you know? And we can't go anywhere. We can't. There's a lot you can do as Christians, but there's a lot more you can experience from the Lord Jesus Christ. We're drawn by the cords of love. We're not driven. There's a verse in the Bible. I hope I quote it right, but stolen waters are sweet, bread eaten in secret is pleasant. In other words, something that's forbidden, like the forbidden fruit of the tree, there's this something in man that he wants what he can't have. It makes it more appealing. Don't do that. It almost makes it harder, and the Bible talks about that in Romans. Sin revived and I died, but God had an answer for that. But think about this. In some of the child-rearing books, they had reverse psychology. Okay, so your little boy won't eat the peas on the table? No, he won't eat them. Well, tell him not to eat them. Tell him he's not allowed to eat them. Use reverse psychology, you know? Now, don't you eat those peas. Don't you finish it. All those. Do you like peas? I could tell. I could tell. But reverse psychology, there's something when the law is given that people like to break that law or push the envelope, you know. we would see Jesus. This is the message. How are people going to see Jesus in you? If Jesus is in you. Amen? And he's in those that have accepted him as Savior, and we've experienced some change in us. But what about maturing? What about being a testimony? What about being filled with the Spirit? What about having that same mind, that same likeness, where somebody who meets you that won't read the Bible, you know, there's a verse in 1 Peter, and it talks about the husband, and he won't be won by the word, but he'll be won by the conversation of the wife. There's all kinds of illustrations of this in the Bible where we can't get people to church, but we can take the church to people. We can't get anybody to read a Bible. You're just not going to get people to read a Bible, you know? If you only knew the word, if you only knew what was in here. But we are known and read of all men. Here we are. I'm a Bible. Amen? I'm gonna manifest the Spirit of Christ because that book is alive and I'm alive because God's in me. And then it makes a statement. How can we show this? There's a verse in Psalms that says, my tongue is the pen of a ready writer. And, oh, what's the verse in Peter, Richard? What's that verse? Oh, it's a good one. About be ready to give an answer to every man of the hope that is in you with meekness and fear. That's it. Amen. I should have waited. Be always ready. The tongue is a pen of a ready writer. What a blessing that is. So here's the first thing. How we speak manifests who Jesus is. Out of the abundance of the heart, the mouth speaketh. Now, you can hide hatred with lying lips, but we're talking about showing Christ. We're talking about manifesting the Spirit of Christ in what we say, speaking the truth in love. Our connection to the love of God or to showing people about Jesus is our speech. That's how we communicate. Amen? That's how we talk to people. They know what's on our mind by what we say. They know how we feel, right? Like, yeah, I like peas. You know, we know he doesn't like peas, right? Or he'd have said, man, I like peas. I mean, there's a countenance, right? There's a skip in the step in the words. There's like, man, I can't wait to talk. Isn't this exciting? You ever talk about anything exciting? Amen. Good. And you talk about something, and you can tell. You ever watch somebody at their children's football game or soccer game? Go, yeah! I mean, they're cheering. It's coming out here, as well as in action. But you want to talk about the Bible? I don't even know the Bible. Well, learn the Bible. Amen? Because that's what you share with people. That's how we show people who Jesus is. But it needs to be real. It needs to be real. I have really tried to look real in some circumstances, and my heart is condemning me, you know. I won't even go into what they are. But we just had dinner at somebody's house last night. I am not speaking about that at all. Amen. It was a delicious meal, and we had a great time. So whoever you are, that was not meant for that. Somebody bought me a tie one time, and I don't know where they got it. But, you know, and I had to wear it because it was a gift. But they said, do you like that tie? And I said, man, that's some tie. You know, and you don't know what to do. Anyway, what is real about our faith? When we get together, sometimes we talk about the Lord. That ought to be an exciting thing to talk about. Amen? Because it's a blessing. Our connection to the love of God and to showing the world Jesus is our speech. Our speech. How about this one? Well, let me stop a minute. James chapter 3. The wisdom that's from above is first pure, peaceable, gentle, easy to be entreated, without partiality, without hypocrisy, sown in peace of them that make peace, right? The wisdom that's from below is earthly, sensual, devilish. Here we go, you know? And so we want easy to be entreated. And that's a fruit of the Spirit. The next thing is compassion. John 13:35, by this shall all men know that you're my disciples, if you have love one toward another. Have you ever read in 1 Corinthians about charity? And this is what charity, because if it's not charity, it profits nothing. Doesn't matter if you give your body to be burned, if you give all your riches to feed the poor, it profits nothing, the Bible says. But here's charity. It says, suffereth long and is kind. Charity envieth not, vaunteth not itself, is not puffed up, doth not behave itself unseemly, seeketh not her own, is not easily provoked, thinketh no evil, rejoiceth. I'm going too fast. Each one of these needs to be thought about. Rejoiceth not in iniquity, but rejoiceth in the truth. Beareth all things, believeth all things, hopeth all things, endureth all things. Charity never faileth. Wow. Charity. Compassion. 1 John 3:17. But whoso hath this world's good and seeth his brother have need, shutteth up his bowels of compassion from him. How dwelleth the love of God in him? The next thing that connects us to that love of God or manifests it and shows people Jesus is our compassion. Our compassion. Not just what we say, but our compassion. Hey, if you ever need help doing something, let me know. Let me know. Somebody calls you, oh great, what did I say that for? You know? It ought to be something that just, it's so desirable to you. How about this one? Mercy. Micah 6:8. He has showed thee, O man, what is good, what doth the Lord require of thee, but to do justly, to love mercy, and to walk humbly with thy God. Do you love God? Do you want people to see Jesus in you? Show mercy. Delight in mercy. Our Lord does that. Let me give you these three examples that we already covered. Luke chapter 18, the Pharisee and the publican. The publican said, Lord, be merciful to me, a sinner. Done. Luke chapter 10, who's the neighbor? He that showed mercy on him. Done. John chapter 8, neither do I condemn thee. Mercy is not getting what you deserve. Neither do I condemn thee. Grace is getting something you don't deserve. Mercy is not getting what you do deserve. She had sinned. She deserved the punishment. But Jesus came along and forgave her. Amen? She didn't get what she deserved. People have been hurt by religion. They've been hurt. They've been hurt bad. Because religion is all about rules. It's all about the law. It's all about do this and you're accepted. Don't do this and you're not accepted. Man, all we need is a mirror. Amen? All we need is to turn that around and look at us. Yeah, but my sin and my faults and my failings are hidden. But theirs are out in the open, so let's condemn them. Well, you know, shall we continue in sin that grace may abound? God forbid. This isn't a license to do wrong, but it's a blessing. We serve God because we love Him, but when we do wrong, His love is still there. Amen? And we can have that forgiveness. That is such a blessing. Romans 6:1. What shall we say then? Shall we continue in sin that grace may abound? God forbid. John 14:7. Philip. Jesus says to Philip, if ye had known me, you should have known my Father also. How do you know God? How do you love God? Man, how do I love God? I've never seen God. I don't. Well, He created everything, okay? Okay, so God created everything. Well, He supposedly wrote the Bible. God wrote the Bible, and He used human instruments. Okay. Well, God's in control of everything. Yeah. But He's so foreign, isn't He? He's abstract. Where is God? God. The name God. Do you love God? How do you know you love God? It says, if ye had known me, ye should have known my Father also, and from henceforth ye know him and have seen him. This is what Jesus is saying. The way to know God is to know me. The way to love God is to love me. And lo and behold, Philip says in the next verse, Jesus said, you've seen him in me. Philip says, show us the Father. Are you kidding? And that the next verse says, How long have you been with me, Philip? And here's the verse. This is verse 9. Have I been so long time with you, and yet thou hast not known me, Philip? He that has seen me hath seen the Father. Boy, now this is a revelation, because you can be religious and you can have Bible knowledge and you can be, you know, really up on a lot of things. But have you ever seen Jesus for who he really is and experienced his work in your heart and your life? That will cause you to love him. And by loving him, you're loving God. And that love just permeates absolutely everything. What do people see when they see you? It's just something to think about. I want people to see the Lord. Amen? Now, there have been times in between churches that I pastored, I had to work a secular job. And there have been times when I was pastoring, I've had to work a secular job. And when I go to work, I like everybody to know that I'm a Christian. It doesn't take long. Amen? You get it out there right away, and you let everybody know you're a Christian. It really is a blessing, because there are some people that will avoid you, you know, and maybe that's good. But there are some people who are looking and searching. Amen? And probably every job I've had, somebody got saved. Because sooner or later, they get confidence and they're able to talk to you and you're able to share something with them and they meet the Savior. Amen? And I won't go into those times. And that is way beyond what I'm doing. It's what God is doing in me. Amen? And that would be the same for you. But what do people see? Here's the Lord. Hebrews 1:3. Who being the brightness of his glory, the express image of his person. Jesus is the express image of God and upholding all things by the word of his power, when he had by himself purged our sins, sat down on the right hand of the majesty on high. He is the express image. Let us make man in our image, Father, Son, Holy Spirit. We are made like that. Man died, okay? His spirit died, and so he had to be born again of that spirit. But in 2 Corinthians 3:18, but we all, Christians, with open face, beholding as in a glass the glory of the Lord, are changed into the same image from glory to glory, even as by the Spirit of the Lord. I'm going to tell you something today, and I'm sure you know this, and I probably preached it before, but this is God's work. This is God's work in your heart. This is something you cannot make happen. But if you do what God says here, and you desire it, God will change you. God will do something for you. Amen? And we're changed by beholding, the Bible says. Here it is again. With open face, beholding as in a glass, the glory of the Lord, are changed into the same image. Behold the Lamb of God that taketh away the sin of the world. Have you ever just thought about that verse? We do it a lot on the Lord's Supper. Behold the Lamb of God. Just look at him. Think about him. Look what he's done. That will change your heart. You'll get to know him better. But here it is. In Moses' day, Exodus 34, he went up and received, he had time with the Lord and he was getting the commandments. And in chapter 34, he comes before the people and he wist not that his face shone. Why did his face show like that? Because he had time with the Lord. Remember, he put a veil over his face. I think it's 2 Corinthians chapter 3. It talks about that again. But his face shone. Remember Stephen, when they're getting ready to stone him? He had the face of an angel. Remember the disciples? It says, and they took knowledge of them that they had been with Jesus. I think the whole verse is, when they saw the boldness of Peter and John, and perceived that they were unlearned and ignorant men, they took knowledge of them that they had been with Jesus. Man, these guys have been with the Lord. Stephen's been with the Lord. Look at his face. Moses has been with the Lord. We take the Psalms. I have those verses underlined. Make thy face to shine upon thy servant. And you spend some time there. And that word just gets in you. Amen? And you so love him and you so appreciate what he's done in this life. But think of the next. Think of the next life when to close our eyes and open them in glory. Amen. We are the light of the world. And the Bible says, let your light so shine. But you got to have a light. And when that light is not hid under a bushel, no, right? The song says, I'm going to let it shine. And when it shines, people see that. They absolutely see that. But it changes us. In Galatians chapter 4, if you know the story in Galatians, the Judaizers came in, and Paul said to the Galatians, having begun in the Spirit, are ye now made perfect by the works of the law? The Judaizers came in and said, no, you can't be saved. It's got to be the law. You got to do this too. It's not only accepting Christ, but it's what you do. And so Paul had said, if I or an angel from heaven bring any other gospel, let him be accursed. He says that twice in the first chapter. But we come to chapter 4, and Paul is, okay, we're going to solve this. You know, where is this blessedness you spake of? You know, you would have given your eyes for me, but what's caused the problem? And Paul said this in chapter 4 and verse 8, my little children, of whom I travail in birth again until Christ be formed in you. He spoke a word to them, and he said, Christ needs to be formed in you. They're saved, but they need to mature as believers and not be torn apart with every wind and doctrine by the Judaizers. Today, somebody will study your attitudes, your actions. They'll weigh your words. You know, the hamburger was late getting to you. What's the matter with this place? You know, why is the service so slow? Maybe that waitress just needs a smile and a bigger tip. You never know what she's going through. Amen? Wherever we go, our attitudes, our speech, and our actions are going to tell a story. Our life is as a tale that is told. You know, you can yell at a waitress and then leave her a track. Forget about the track, probably. We have to be something, someone, who can show this world Jesus. We're reflectors. In Mark chapter 5, and I'll close with a couple stories here. There's a maniac of Gadara, and you know the story and how he cut himself and he ran naked in the tombs and he cried out and the whole town was in an uproar because, man, this crazy guy's there. And they tried to bind him and he broke the bonds and Jesus comes along. Now, that's a pretty bad description of who that guy is, but Jesus came along. And this maniac sat at his feet and he was listening to him. And he was in his right mind, and he was clothed. And Jesus said, go home and tell your friends what happened to you. What a life-transforming time. Amen. What a testimony. Go home and tell your friends what happened to you. That's a testimony. Amen. Man, I haven't given my testimony to my family or my friends or my neighbors in a long time. Tell them. Tell them what happened to you and let them see Jesus and let them see your love. 2 Kings chapter 5, Naaman, the captain of the host of Syria, he's a leper and he hears about a man of God in Israel and how God can do things. And so he goes and his entourage goes with him and he comes to the prophet's house and the prophet won't even go to the door, sends his servant. And Naaman says, I'm a leper. I want to be cured of my leprosy. And the servant of the prophet said, go wash in Jordan 7 times. And Naaman was mad. And it says in that text, I'm not sure if this is word for word, but it says, he expecting some great thing. I'm a great leader. I'm a great captain in this great nation. And I've come all the way here. And you just say, go wash in Jordan? Dip 7 times in Jordan. I wanted the prophet to come out. I wanted him maybe to put up his hand to heaven and call down a cleansing on me. So he's mad. His servants, wise as they were, convinced him to go dip in Jordan 7 times. And he did. Now think of the faith. You had to do that 7 times. How foolish that would look. The 7th time, He came up and his skin was like the skin of a baby. You imagine that transformation? Imagine the story he had when he went home. Amen? Here's the Bible. And it's, you know, that's a lot of Bible that I've just said, but it's all to get to this one point. You need to be in the Bible. You need to develop a love for the Bible, a great, great love for the Bible, because that's a spiritual book. Here's the verses. I believe God. You're clean through the word which I've spoken unto you. Clean through the word. He washed. He dipped 7 times. I want something else. I want some greater miracle. Nope. Just go wash in the water of the word. How about this one? The washing of water by the word. How about this one? Wherewithal shall a young man cleanse his way? By taking heed thereto, according to thy word. And sometimes Bible reading is dull. Sometimes you don't have time for it. Who do you think is at work then? This is the word of God, so God wants us, and he gives us this as an answer. So I'm a doer of the word, not a hearer only. That changes my life. It changes my love. It changes my testimony, everything. I'm learning the Bible. I'm sharing that with people. That's how the early church was. Amen? And they were excited to meet together. They were excited to share testimonies. It was just such a blessing. Years ago, we took a group of about 30 young people to Mexico on a missions trip. Maybe there was over 30, but right around 30. And we had a big bus, and we drove all the way into Mexico, and we ministered there for at least a week. It might have been longer. Tremendous opportunity for those young people. Hard trip, but man, it was a real blessing. But on the way back, we stopped at the Alamo. I don't know if you've ever been there, but I mean, it's amazing to go there and see the history. But on a wall near the entrance of the Alamo in San Antonio, Texas, there's a portrait with the following inscription: James Butler Bonham. No picture of him exists. This portrait is of his nephew, Major James Bonham, deceased, who greatly resembled his uncle. It is placed here by the family that people may know the appearance of the man who died for freedom. It wasn't his picture. It was the picture of somebody that looked like him, so they could at least give the public a picture of that face, of that person that died for their freedom. I wrote this down. No literal portrait of Jesus exists either, but the likeness of the Son who makes us free can be seen in the lives of his true followers. Have anybody ever seen Jesus? No. But people can see Jesus through us. Amen? I wish I could make it happen. I wish I could say something or do something, and I can't. I can't do it in my life. I can't do it in your life. It's not like I'm going to try harder. It's sometimes a hopeless thing when you try to fix somebody or fix yourself by self. You know what I mean? And the desire is not there. It is God that worketh in you both to will and to do of his good pleasure. Without him, we can do nothing. With Christ, we can do all things. That's him working inside of us. What's the answer? God, I need your help. Get in his word. Read his word. Memorize his word. Meditate upon his word. Amen? That's where the cleansing comes. And that's where that love grows. People need to see us. Amen? They need to see us as believers, pure, holy, humble. Our speech, our actions, our compassion, it needs to point to Christ so that we can exalt him. Amen. Let's bow our heads, please. Father, bless your word today. Lord, it's such a great truth. May we not forget it as we leave this place. May we trust you with this truth this week. May we spend more time in your word. May we be conscious of our testimony. May we show people how precious Jesus is through what we say, what we do, our attitudes. Be glorified, Lord, by our life. And we'll thank you for it so much. In Jesus' name, amen. Let's stand.